now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Karen joining us on the line. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Lena.
It's been a minute. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Karen will be filling in for Adam today. Let's get started with keyword news. We're going to be talking about several major headlines starting at home. Of course, the presidential office is highlighting its policy direction for the next 3 years. Our first keyword of the day.
New policy direction.
So following President Yoon's press conference last week, the presidential office announced the government's policy direction heading into its third year. What were the main takeaways from Sunday's press briefing, Karen?
Well, as you mentioned, a press briefing was held on Sunday at the Yongsan presidential office. And during the briefing, presidential spokesperson Kim Soo-kyung emphasized that the government will focus on people's livelihoods and public communication. She also said the government will continue to work closely with the ruling party to create and promote policies that meet the people's needs and make a difference in their lives. Now, as for public livelihood, a task force for price stabilization will be formed. And the spokesperson added that the government will continue to monitor prices and focus on structural aspects of prices, such as improving the distribution and trade structure in efforts to stabilize prices overall. Meanwhile, another task force for strategic industries will be created to ensure that industries that play a key role in exports continue to develop and achieve good export performance. And the task force will ensure that these achievements will spread to secondary and tertiary suppliers. Now, as for public communication, the presidential office also announced the resumption of a public forum to hear directly from the people about their challenges. And they also said the government will hold performance briefings for the National Integration Committee and National Fiscal Strategy meetings to discuss strategies to resolve pending issues in efforts to make a difference in people's lives. Earlier, the presidential office announced on May 2nd that two task forces on price stabilization and strategic industries will be formed with Chief Presidential Secretary for Policy Song Tae-yoon to personally head both task forces.
Okay, so on top of the task forces, it seems the presidential office is very aware of the fact that the public was not very satisfied with the way they were communicating any of their ideas or agendas. Mm-hmm. So more efforts there. All right, let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Korea-China Foreign Ministers Meeting.
So Foreign Minister Cho Tae-ryul is set to visit China for 2 days beginning today. I guess the big question is, will Korea-China-Japan summit take place at the end of this month? So what is on top of his agenda?
Right. So South Korean Foreign Minister Cho Tae-ryul will visit China from Monday to Tuesday at the invitation of Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. It's the first visit by a Korean foreign minister to China in more than 6 years. The last visit was made by then Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa back in 2017. So, of course, this meeting is being watched closely as observers wonder whether this visit will address current obstacles and pave the way for a fresh start in relations between China and South Korea. And as you mentioned, negotiating arrangements for a long-stalled trilateral leaders meeting among China, Japan, and South Korea will be a top priority during this meeting. South Korea currently is the rotating chair of the trilateral dialogue and is eager to realize this meeting, which has long been stalled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, a soured relationship between the three countries and U.S. disruption that has created obstacles for the three countries to cooperate. The trilateral leaders meeting was last held back in 2019 in Chengdu, Southwest China's Sichuan province. So experts believe that the resumption of talks could help stabilize the supply chains of the three Northeast Asian countries and also stimulate economic cooperation between these countries. And Korea's foreign ministry also added that the two will exchange views on issues of mutual interest, including Korea-China relations, Korean peninsula issues, and regional global affairs. Meanwhile, during his visit, Joe will also hold a business roundtable with Korean entrepreneurs in China to listen to their suggestions as well as their difficulties and exchange opinions on ways to provide support for them and boost economic exchanges between the two countries. And another potential issue that could be discussed is whether Seoul will join the AUKUS defense deal among the U.S., the U.K., and Australia.
Which is something that Beijing is, well, as you can imagine, not very happy with. We'll wait and see, because high stakes, absolutely. Korea depends a great deal on China for our exports, a very important trade partner. So it's good as time as any to see if we can mend ties. All right, let's move on to our third keyword this morning. First of the minimum wage discussions, this is our third pick of the day.
New Minimum Wage Commission.
So the Minimum Wage Commission for 2025 has been formed, and deliberations on next year's hourly minimum wage will soon begin. Now, all eyes are on whether the rate will exceed 10,000 won for the first time in Korean history. It usually is a very lengthy process, so we start early. Let's talk about the newly formed commission first.
Right. So 26 new members have been appointed to the 13th Minimum Wage Commission ahead of the start of next year's review. And the commission is a tripartite committee that's composed of 27 members, with 9 members each from the labor, business, and public sectors. And each commissioner serves a tenure of 3 years. So the 13th Commission has 26 new members, 8 in the public, 8 in labor, 9 in labor, excuse me, and 9 in business, because one existing public interest commissioner's term has not ended. So this commission is the first to be appointed under the Yoon government. Commissioners from the labor and business sectors are nominated by major unions and economic organizations, while public interest members are selected by the government based on related laws. So this new appointment is expected to face some backlash, especially from the labor sector, as two of the eight newly appointed public interest commissioners have previously served in the 12th commission. And one of them, Professor Kwon Soon-won of Sungmyung Women's University, was actually asked to resign by the labor sector during his previous tenure. So regarding Kwon's appointment and the list of public interest commissioners, a representative of the Korea Confederation of Trade Unions expressed regret, saying more than half of the members are professors of economy or business and include members who have shown blatant bias in favor of the government or businesses. And as the public interest commissioners play a crucial role in deliberations, as they're considered to hold the casting vote, the inclusion of public interest commissioners that the labor is opposed to is expected to be a sticking point in deliberations from the start.
Okay, so not everyone is happy with the members of the 12th commission. But regardless, as you've said, meetings will begin today. So let's talk about the tasks for this new commission.
Right. So deliberations on next year's minimum wage will begin in earnest, and heated debate is expected to play out over the next 3 months, as this is the timeline set by the law to finalize the country's minimum wage. So in previous years, the focus had largely been placed on whether the minimum wage would reach that threshold of 10,000 won, which is equivalent to about $7.40 per hour. And of course, this issue is expected to take center stage this year as well, as the current minimum wage is very close to that threshold at 9,860 won per hour. Meanwhile, another issue is expected to heat up discussions this year. This is the differentiated application of minimum wages based on industry. So heated talks about this is expected to take center stage, as the business community has been calling for differentiation of minimum wage by industry, citing the difficulties of small business owners. But the labor sector has been in opposition, arguing that the system does not fit the purpose of minimum wage and creates a stigmatization effect for certain industries. If we take a look at the law, the current law does indicate that there is a possibility of applying different minimum wages based on the type of business. And this debate kind of was sparked with a recent BOK report proposing that individual households directly hire foreign workers through private contracts in a way that sort of bypasses the Labor Standard Act and the Minimum Wage Act, thereby, you know, lowering their costs. And this has come because there's been a shortage of manpower for caregivers.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. The new commission's Minimum Wage Committee Commission will start their meetings today, 3-month process. We'll keep tabs on it. Let's move on, staying on the economy section for our fourth keyword of the day.
Growth rate revision.
So South Korea's economic growth rate has been revised to 2.5% from the previous 2.1% projection, thanks to robust exports, among several other reasons. Can you tell us more?
Right. So the Korea Institute of Finance has revised its forecast for South Korea's annual economic growth rate to 2.5% from a previous projection of 2.1%, which was made last November. And the upward revision reflects a more optimistic outlook for the economy and is based on significant improvements in exports, particularly in the semiconductor sector. So KIF officials said that a recovery trend in real GDP, bolstered by strong semiconductor exports and related equipment investments, is expected despite the dampening effects of high interest rates and inflation on private consumption and the expected sluggishness in construction investment. In fact, the forecast for private consumption growth has been lowered to 1.7% from the previous 2%. And the KIF said that long-term effects of high prices and interest rates are likely to constrain spending power, and uncertainty in economic conditions is also expected to delay recovery in consumer sentiment. However, the KIF expects the total exports to grow by 5.3%, which is more than double the rate expected in their November forecast, which was 2.6%. And it highlighted that global trade is gradually recovering, and as semiconductor demand increases, exports will also improve accordingly. So additionally, the KIF has raised its forecast for total import growth to 3.7% from 2.4%, citing increased demand for goods related to exports and a rise in service imports, particularly in travel services. But investment in equipment is forecast to increase by 3.7%, while construction investment is projected to decline by 2.4%. Mm-hmm. So while investment in semiconductor-related equipment is expected to rebound, construction investment does face a challenge due to rapid interest rate increases and real estate project financing issues.
All right, now due to time constraints, we're going to move on to our final keyword of the day.
Tariff hike for Chinese EVs.
So the Biden administration is planning to announce new China tariffs in strategic sectors and is set to include a massive hike in tariffs on Chinese EVs. Massive might be an understatement here. Tell us more.
Right. So the U.S. is planning to raise tariffs on Chinese EV imports from the current 25% to 100%. And this move comes as the Biden administration is intensifying its efforts ahead of the U.S. election to protect American industries. So the administration is expected to announce the move, as well as other tariffs on clean energy imports, on Tuesday. So they're making a revision to what's called the Section 301 tariffs. And the Biden administration has zeroed in on industries that it says are of strategic competitive and national security areas. So sources say the full announcement will maintain existing tariffs on many Chinese goods that were set by former President Donald Trump, but it will also add new tariffs to semiconductors and solar equipment and Chinese-made medical supplies like syringes and personal protective equipment are also expected to face additional tariffs as well. Mm. So the sharp rise in the tariffs come amid mounting concern that China could flood the U.S. market with cheap EVs, threatening the American car industry. The U.S. Trade Representative's office made its recommendation to the White House weeks ago, but they say the final announcement was delayed due to internal discussions. And some sources say that it may even come later than Tuesday. Yeah. So hearing this, China has, of course, fired back immediately, saying that it would retaliate with trade measures if the U.S. imposes new tariffs on its exports, including EVs. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Lin Jian said China will take all necessary measures to defend its rights and interests. So the Biden administration has been reviewing the tariffs that then-President Donald Trump put on Chinese imports for the past 3 years, and the new EV tariffs will be announced alongside a conclusion of this review. And the decision to increase tariffs on EV comes as the administration is becoming particularly concerned that China is moving far ahead in the green industrial sector, including in the production of solar panels, and also amid mounting concern that China could flood the U.S. with these cheap EVs, threatening the American car industry. So we know that a big election is coming up in November and Biden is seeking re-election. So he's looking to contrast his approach with that of Republican candidate Trump. Trump, on the other hand, has proposed across the board tariffs that White House officials see as being too blunt and prone to spark inflation.
So we knew that the U.S.-China trade wars would intensify given the political climate, but you're right, leading up to the important presidential election in November, high stakes, so a tougher stance there. Does this put Korea in a stickier position? I think so.
Yeah, well, the Korean auto industry, they say that in the short term, they will benefit because Chinese cars are being squeezed out of the U.S. market. But if the U.S.-China relationship deteriorates further the tariff war spreads to other sectors like auto parts, Korean companies could also suffer.
So some short-term benefits, but in the long term, it might not be the best thing. Thank you so much, Karen. As always, so insightful, and we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.